So we have Anna, whose situation is not as good as David's because Anna entered illegally in 2007 before June. So she was eligible for DACA. And sounds like her boyfriend, the petitioner, is out of work. So Anna might have some possibilities because possibly Anna got her DACA before she turned 18, meaning she never started accruing unlawful presence. That would be a really positive thing if that were the case with Anna. But the fact that there's no money coming in is, you know, something you're going to have to work with. There are ways to work with it, but having clients who already have good high-paying jobs makes life a lot easier in this process. And then finally, another piece of this is that her younger sister has, that's written wrong. It says her younger sister has turned 15 is what it should say. And can she apply for DACA? And as Paul mentioned, even though the U.S. Supreme Court said that the Trump administration had not lawfully ended DACA, USCIS took the position that they could limit how DACA moved forward. And so no new DACA applications are being accepted. There's all sorts of litigation. I know a lot of people have tried to do initial DACA applications, but they're being rejected. So if you have anyone who talks to you about DACA, it's really important to get online or to talk to them and figure out what the current status is with DACA, because the Supreme Court decision in June, which we all thought was such a wonderful thing, has been good, but not as good as it should have been. So we have another DACA client who has another possible path. Her mother applied for a U visa. A U visa is something you can apply for if you were the victim of a crime and a certain level of crime and you cooperated with the police or prosecutors. The bad news about U visa is it's capped at $10,000 a year. And so the backlog just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so in this case, because this is the current status, the application was filed in 2015, and 5 years later, they get the deferred and a different kind of deferred action, which is the U visa deferred action. That means that they have reviewed the file and that you appear to be eligible for every reason except that there is no visa available this year. But the good news is when they send you the deferred action notice, you can apply for a work permit. So Maria's mom, we're assuming, was undocumented. So this is a huge deal for her. She can get a work permit. For Maria, it's a little weird because she already has DACA deferred action. So the question is, will she just keep renewing DACA or should apply for a work permit based on her U visa deferred status? Traditionally, this was a more debatable issue, but now that they've reduced the DACA work permit to a 1 year work permit, it makes more sense, absent any complicating factor, for her to next do her renewal based on just normal deferred action, and then she will get a 2 year work permit. The other fact here is that she has a sister who's in the same situation, except she got married. The whole reason that's in there is to remind you how important it is in immigration to understand who's a child, who can age out, or who can do something to end their eligibility for benefits. It can sneak up on you sometimes. Maria and Gabriella were both derivatives on the U visa. And if a derivative gets married, they're no longer a child. And so Gabriella, by getting married, unfortunately, if she was my client, I didn't advise her not to get married, or she ignored me. And so she's got to stick with DACA because she's now off the U visa path. And just generally, whether someone remains a child, which is by growing older or by getting married, is really important. And so whenever you have children involved, you need to know what the consequences are of them no longer being a child.
And Sarah, can you touch on whether you can, your hypos have raised this, whether you can have two employment cards at the same time.
I actually don't know the answer to that. I guess because you'd have to pay for either one of them. I don't know. Maybe someone knows we'll ask the experts on that. I don't know. But, you know, I have had people that had a parole card and then I applied for an asylum card for them and they didn't take any specific action to invalidate the still valid parole card. But I suspect if you took one of those documents to DPS or Social Security, that the system would suggest that you only had that only one of those was valid. Do you know the answer, Nancy? Are you asking because you know the answer to this?
I really don't. I've had people come both ways, and I increasingly am hearing from people this year who want to hedge their bets, which yeah. I guess I would be that way too.
Yeah, bet hedging is a good thing to be doing right now. So the last DACA slide is real quick. One, Michael gets an RFE, which is a request for evidence. And this happens surprisingly frequently that they sent you a request for evidence you already submitted. And should he respond? Absolutely, he should respond because